Marathon, a true adventure. From the recording Courage and a Clear Mind by Jim Weiss. Copyright 2016. Marathon. The story you are about to hear is one of the world's greatest true adventures. We know the story because a Greek author named Herodotus interviewed people who took part in it. Our word history comes from the Greek word for investigation, and it was Herodotus who first used the word in this way. So he's often called the father of history. Here is his most thrilling story, retold in shorter form. Sparta and Athens were as different as could be. One was a city built on war and on following a single way of thinking. The other was built on democracy, trade, and the exchange of ideas, which in turn led Athens to build colonies, including those built in the area the Greeks called Ionia, which ran along the west coast of Asia in what is today Turkey, 200 miles east of Athens across the Aegean Sea. Inland from them to the east lay the mighty Persian Empire. A Persian king named Darius turned his hungry gaze upon the Greek colonies of Ionia. At the time, democracy was still new in the world, only about 25 years old. But its success in Athens was inspiring other people to try it too. The Persian system was the opposite of democracy. King Darius had total power over every person in his empire. To the Persians, the very idea of democracy seemed insane. When a traveler who had visited Greece reached the Persian court, King Darius's wife asked him, "Who rules these Greeks?" The traveler answered, "They rule themselves." The king and the queen literally could not understand how such a system could exist. Darius thought, "What if my subjects begin to think this way? I shall give the Ionian colonies the choice of bowing to me or of going to war against my vast army." Hearing of King Darius's threats, some of the city-states in mainland Greece sent soldiers to Ionia in case the Persians attacked. Darius was furious. He decided to conquer the Greek mainland, too. "We will crush them and their democracy like ants." The terrifying news spread through Greece. "The Persians are coming." Darius sent a fleet of 600 ships carrying soldiers and horses across the Aegean Sea to mainland Greece. As this army swept forward, cities in its path surrendered rather than face destruction. Then Darius's general moved toward Athens, which, as the main supporter of the Ionian colonies, was the Persians' chief target. The Persian route led across a wide, flat plain near a village called Marathon, about 30 miles from Athens. Here, the Greeks would have to make their stand. 10 Athenian generals, along with a civilian named Callimachus, who represented the civilian government, talked over what to do. One general said, "The plain of Marathon offers room for Persian horsemen to charge us, and nowhere for us to go to avoid their foot soldiers, whose numbers will overrun our troops. Besides, no one has ever defeated a Persian army." But another general named Miltiades said, "The Persians fight for a king who cares nothing for them. We fight for our freedom and the freedom of our children. That is worth something in battle. Let us send to Sparta for help." Legend says that the generals sent their fastest runner, Pheidippides, to run the 140 miles to Sparta. But would the Spartans come, and could they arrive in time? The generals started for Marathon with all 10,000 Athenian men of fighting age, joined on the way by 1,000 Greeks from another, smaller polis. The Persian army, many times their number, swept towards them from the other direction. Meanwhile, the Athenian runner, Pheidippides, reached Sparta, where, to his horror, the Spartan kings told him, "This is a religious holiday. We cannot come to your aid until it ends tomorrow night." Pheidippides set out once more. Reaching Marathon, he reported, "The Spartans cannot come." The generals were stunned.
Then we must beg for mercy.
But Miltiades, the general who previously had spoken boldly, said,
It is too late. The Persians will not stop now until they have destroyed us.
The 10 generals voted, Should we fight or surrender? Each side received 5 votes. Miltiades turned to Callimachus, the civilian.
The decision rests with you. But remember, if we surrender, democracy will disappear from the world.
Callimachus answered,
Then let us fight.
While this desperate discussion went on, the Persian commander sent his cavalry off to make sure no other Greek forces were approaching. While the horsemen were away, the Greeks hurriedly spread out in a wide line, setting their best fighters at either end and leaving the middle with fewer men. Then, with a shout of,
Freedom!
The Greeks charged. The Persian commander laughed.
Those fools have left the middle of their line weak. Send our best troops to break through there.
But the Greeks expected this. When the Persians pushed back the middle of the Greek line, the stronger Greek forces on the sides suddenly turned and attacked. The Persians, unable to defend themselves on 3 sides at once, panicked and ran for their ships, with the Greeks so close behind that they captured 7 Persian ships before the Persians could board them. Those Persians who escaped sailed away.
Victory!
Cried the Greeks, and their wonder grew even greater when they saw that they had lost only a few men in this miraculous triumph. Pheidippides, the runner, asked for the honor of carrying the wondrous news home. Hours later, he reached Athens and gasped out the news.
We have won!
But then, Pheidippides' great heart, which had carried him over hundreds of miles of road and through the day's battle, gave out. He fell dead in the shadow of the gates of Athens. The Greeks never forgot Pheidippides or that remarkable day. They measured the distance Pheidippides had run from Marathon to Athens, a little over 26 miles, and declared, This shall be the length of Greek long-distance races forever. And 25 centuries later, all the world still follows that tradition. And we still call such a race a marathon, in memory of those who kept alight the fragile flame of democracy so long ago on the plains of Marathon.